Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
You know, Patrick, one time when I was a kid, I got a patch from the Activision video game company for achieving a high score on Laser Blast. It's a true story.
Okay, but what does that have to do with the show?
Because we're talking with world-renowned laser scientist Matt Windler today.
Who's that?
You know, intern Matt. See, he's a scientist, but he interns for us.
Patrick, it's a beautiful day out on the deck.
Yes, it is, Jim.
We are enjoying a really very nice for the season mid-Atlantic late spring.
Yes, totally agree.
Or is this summer now on your calendar?
It is June. It's summer. Yeah.
On the summer. Foster summer. Augmented mm-hmm. calendar.
It came in like a lion. It was super hot at the beginning.
Already.
Yeah. It's mellowing out a little bit.
Well, it's a nice summer day then.
It is. Beautiful it really summer is. Day.
A little overcast and so not quite so searingly hot as you normally have here. All right. So we're out on the deck. So if people hear anything, you know, the plane just went overhead a little bit before we started recording. Yeah. You may hear some cars going by, things like that. Don't let that bug you.
Skateboarding in the street there. Heard some guys are going over some ramps.
It's the suburbs. That's what people do.
That's right. They skateboard.
Yep. All right. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And what we're going to do today is we're starting a series of calls. There will be three of them over the course of hopefully the next several days. We still have to schedule the third one, but it's called Meet the Intern.
I love it.
And so, and I think we did this with intern Sam a while back.
We did, yeah.
We sort of just talked to him about his music interests, but the team has grown.
It has.
Over time, right? Mm-hmm. Patrick, you've been great about recruiting some folks to help us with some of the tasks that we have keeping this juggernaut
That's right. It's a giant corporation now, and it'd be impossible to get our work done without these folks who do such great work, and especially the person we're going to talk to right now.
Yeah, so I remember one time several months ago, I probably said it most like kind of half joking, but definitely there was a germ of seriousness in this, which I said, you know, we need help with all the correspondence that we get, all
That's
the fan
right.
mail, mm-hmm. the emails, the voice messages, the social media, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling buried under this. And can somebody help us out? And, you know, like, aha, we need an intern.
Yeah.
And then Matt here, he volunteered. He said, I'll do it. And
it's great.
It's been so great. And so we welcome to the program Matt Windler. Hello, Matt.
It's going great.
That's the longest introduction I think anyone's gotten, by the way.
Thanks for all you do, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think I remember that, Jim. I think we were reading an email that was like 6 months old.
That's right.
Matt probably said, somebody's got a pleasure here. This is getting ridiculous.
That's exactly right. So what Matt does is once a week, he compiles this all for us puts it together in like a really nicely organized like PDF document or something like that. And so all I have to do then is when we're going to do fan mail episodes, go through those then figure out what we want to talk about. So Matt, it's a huge help for us.
That's my pleasure. I mean, your memory's a little off. It's been a year now.
A year.
Wow.
Yeah. More than a few months, but okay. But yeah.
That I think that's par for the course with what I'm saying. How disorganized we are. So Matt, we wanted to talk with you. You've called in, I think, before to the show and
that's
left
right.
messages, but we never really had a chance to talk with you.
Yeah.
Have a conversation on the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and you know, how you got into music or what are some of your favorite bands, that kind of thing.
Okay, sure. So I'm a student, a PhD student at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, but I do my research full time in California. So a physics student, I'm just on the verge of finishing up. They're going to kick me to the country soon, actually. My visa runs out at the end of the month. Yeah, so I have to go back and finish writing my thesis. But that's a little bit about me, I guess. For music, I was kind of late to the game. I didn't really get into music until high school. It was mostly just my mom's, whatever she put on the radio, mm-hmm. which was pop country. And then she switched over to Magic 100, Ottawa soft rock. And that never really did anything for me. And then it was grade 9, had a guitar class. And the teacher kept picking really good songs to try and learn. So like R.E.M.'s Man on the Moon, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and that sort of thing. And my friends were also really getting into music. So that sort of became just an activity that we would do together. I think the biggest one's probably Sam Roberts. I don't know if he ever crossed over. Oh, yeah, okay.
A little bit. Remember him?
So yeah. His first album, I think, was really big. I don't think recently he's made much noise, but he's been putting out music ever since. So he's definitely a big one. Matt Mays and El Torpedo. It's a lot of Canadian stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Dan talked about it in the interview he did, but they have these Canadian content rules where on the radio you have to play some certain percentage of Canadian music. So that's sort of where I started. I found Ottawa's, which is where I'm from, their radio station for rock. And then I forget when it came out, but then they had an alternative station to Live 88.5. And that's sort of where I started picking up music. And just like TV shows and movies too. Whenever I would hear something, I would try and figure out what it was. So Tragically Hip's a big one, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. It took me a while, but once I was in, I was in. And Dan Magan's probably the most notable one that I've tried pushing on people a lot. Yeah.
Worked with us.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So people who don't who are new to the show or don't remember that, so Matt turned us on to Dan Magan's music, and we ended up interviewing him on the podcast.
Yeah.
That went really well.
That was fantastic. What a nice guy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that interview. It was awesome.
One thing I wanted to ask Matt on the hip is that I just started reading a really interesting book on them, and I, you know, as a fan of their music, wasn't aware, I guess, overtly how much Canadian references there were in a lot of their songs and Gord Dowdy's lyrics. Was that something that was important to you at all, or was it just the fact that they were a really good rock band?
I mean, they always felt quintessentially Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when that happened, because I think their first album was like 89 or something.
I think that's right.
I could have that wrong. Yep. And they did have some American references in there too on the first one, for sure.
Yeah, New Orleans is Sinking was an early one of their hits at some point. Yeah.
It played a small role. I actually had a history class where we had to pick some sort of piece of art that referenced Canadian history. And so I did 50 Mission Cap.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they just feel Canadian. And they've always sort of been a part of the cultural identity. I don't know when it happened. It was just always the case when I started listening to music. And like their last concert in Kingston, Ontario was like a national event.
Right.
More than a third of the country watched it. Like the Prime Minister showed up wearing a Canadian tuxedo.
So mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
That is crazy, yes.
It really is, yeah.
Is there any differences from your perspective in terms of music and culture between Canada and the United States?
I think it's just a smaller scale.
Yeah.
I feel like it helps to be Canadian for Canadian artists. I mean, for you guys, it's just like pop culture. Right.
Yeah.
But we get to differentiate a little bit more, I think. So to me, something Canadian just feels more like it's mine a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Does it bother you at all as a Canadian when artists leave Canada and go to the United States to find their fame and fortune?
I wouldn't say it's happened much with the stuff I listen to.
Okay.
So, but no, I mean, whatever can sustain them to keep making good music, that's fine by me.
Right,
yeah.
Right. What was the first album you ever bought?
That was a little embarrassing. It was Stadium Arcadium by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the first one.
Why do you call that embarrassing now?
I think over time, there's just sort of this notion that they're sort of corny.
Yeah.
I still certainly enjoy listening. I think their greatest hits CDs, I really enjoy it. I think they've got a lot of great songs. But I wouldn't say that they're like the best, you know, musicians out there or anything. But they're just fun, catchy songs.
They definitely seemed of a time, don't you think?
Yeah.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, like their music has not stood the test of time, I think, that's, like some other bands.
Yeah, that's right. And there were a lot of people who bought that album.
Yes.
There's no doubt there was a lot of people who bought that record. Yeah, and it's interesting, whereas somebody like, I don't know, the Beastie Boys seemed to sort of morph a little bit. Maybe the Red Hot Chili Peppers didn't ever really necessarily do that. You know, they kind of had their style and they kind of worked that one row, hoed that one row for a long time.
Well, not only that, I think they... I think they also, over time, found what sold for them.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And they kind of then, once they found that lane, they pretty much stayed in that lane.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think, you know, a band like the Beastie Boys, for example, were always pushing themselves
to do different stuff.
Different stuff and not sort of stay in one on one path. And
because they had a lot of funk stuff at first, right? And then I think Californication was where they started to really sell a lot.
Right.
And it was a lot of these ballads.
Yes.
Yes. Very true.
So I would suggest people go back to the first couple of albums, you know, and listen to that stuff because I think it's more adventurous.
Yeah, exactly right. Produced by George Clinton, I believe.
Yeah,
some of that early stuff.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Matt, do you play hockey?
I play street hockey. I can skate, but not well.
Okay.
Yeah. I enjoy, like, in Canada, they have outdoor rinks in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Where volunteers just flood the rink and it'll freeze over and you can go and play whenever you want. So I'd definitely go with friends, but I'm not good. I use the boards to stop and all that.
It's interesting because in reading that book about the Tragically Hip, how they all naturally just learned to skate at a very young age in Canada. It's just like something, you know, you do. And it was kind of cool, I think, at one point.
Is that right?
Yeah, the part I'm in, when they were first looking at a record contract, the record executives came to meet them and they took them all out to some pond. They all laced up their skates and like had a pickup match against these like record execs. They made them, you know, play hockey against them. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. People teach their kids at like 2 years old how to skate.
It's amazing.
I mean, yeah. They're not really skating, but yeah, they get them on the ice young.
But if you start young, obviously you just comes more naturally to you. It's like a kid learning to swim at a very young age will then just sort of naturally take the water. Right?
Love the water. Yeah. It reminded me that story of the Clash when the CBS executives came to check on the progress on London Calling. They took him outside to the pitch and played soccer with him and actually made him all get sweaty.
Was it a pitch or was it just like an alley?
I think it was like a gravel alley or something. Yeah,
a lot
where they would take a break. Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Go out and play. So I noticed you're just going right to the stereotypically Canadian.
I didn't mean to do that.
Right?
Yeah, that's all for me. Yeah.
It's like, what else would you say? Like, do you wear a toque? Like, that would be the next thing, right?
I do, but only for the weather.
Yeah.
not for style.
I won't ask about Kids in the Hall.
It's actually smart. Yeah. Kids in the Hall is fantastic.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay.
I was going to ask about physics, Matt. What kind of work will you do once you complete your master's degree and finish that thesis? Do you have something in mind, a specific branch of applying physics?
So I'm in photonics, which is lasers.
Okay.
So I've been down here trying to help build up a laser system that they'll use with the X-ray free electron laser at the / National Accelerator Lab.
Oh, wow.
Which is a bunch of jargon, but it's basically they have an X-ray laser. But when they use that, they often use a second laser. And so the second laser is the one that I've been working on. So it'll be something with lasers, usually trying to understand molecular changes during reactions or things like that. But lasers are great because they are it's called coherent. So they're defined in space and time to a very, very precise degree. So I'm working with pulses on the duration of femtoseconds, which is 10 to the minus 15th of a second. So it's very short, and that's sort of the time scales of electrons and molecules. And so it'll be studying that sort of stuff. It's called AMO, Atomic Molecular and Optical Physics.
You know how I always say that our listeners are smarter than we are? Our interns are way smarter than us and our listeners put together.
Well, I noticed that as Matt was talking, that you're sort of like nodding your head in agreement and saying, you know, stuff like that.
It looked
as
like
if,
I understood what
as
he was
if
talking
you understood
about.
Any of that.
No, I didn't.
So
it's all a lot of jargon. It's a... I don't know. You guys are definitely a lot smarter about music than I am. So
that's the only thing.
I don't know. But Godspeed, Matt Windler.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Somebody's got to do this work, right?
That's right.
Yeah. They left it to people like us.
We'd be in trouble.
The only thing I know about lasers is that's how you played your CD. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. And it interrupted the beam when you went over a bump in your car. Right. So you got to skip.
That's right. So that must be cool. It must be good for parties, right? Like, what do you do? I work with lasers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's got to be great. Dinner conversation.
I don't know. Once you get into the details, people glaze over pretty quick.
Right, just like I did.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to get back to the first thing. What was the first concert you ever went to?
It was at the Civic Center. Billy Talent was the headliner.
Yeah, I know Billy Talent, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of a...
Yeah. Rise Against was there.
Rise Against, yeah.
It was sort of like the emo screamo stuff.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it was because a girlfriend wanted to go. It wasn't because I chose. Although I do really like Billy Talent.
Yeah.
They're definitely early 2000s and all that. Yeah. But
it's poppy.
Good angsty music.
Yeah.
Some good stuff.
Definitely.
Have you been able to see shows in California in the time you've spent there?
A few. So I'm in Menlo Park, which is like Silicon Valley. So San Francisco's about an hour train ride north. So I've seen a handful, not a ton. I saw Filthy Friends because I wanted to see Peter Buck.
Yeah.
Since unfortunately REM was already done by the time I was ready to start going to see stuff.
Yeah.
And I saw Dan when he came by recently. Yeah, but unfortunately not too much. It's kind of hard to get to the city on a weeknight.
Right, right. Makes sense.
All right.
There's not a lot of shows in Menlo Park. Probably.
No.
Probably not.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if Chuck Prophet can stop down there
for
something.
Cool. Yeah, he's around.
He'll play. He'll play it.
He'll do it.
It's a summertime thing.
You'll do That's right.
So, anyway, the Filthy Friends, I'm glad you brought this up because I saw them, what's it been, like 3 weeks now or something like that? What did you think of that show?
I thought it was really good. It was at the Independent, which is, I think, like 200 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Got to see him play the Rickenbacker, so that was cool. But it was, fun, lots of energy. They had Dressy Bessie open for them.
Yep, same too. Here.
So they had just a lot of poppy energy. It was good.
The thing that I really noticed in that show, first of all, it was at a pretty small venue in D.C., the U Street Music Hall, which more than 200, but it's in the hundreds, I would say. It's not...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I forget what it is. Maybe 500, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Max, yeah.
I was really blown away by Corin Tucker. I mean, I've never seen Slater Kinney, although I'm planning to go see them. They're coming around this fall at a much bigger place, the Anthem.
Yeah.
But I was blown away by her voice, man. She has there's like a certain register that she can hit.
Yep.
When she sings in that, it's overpowering to the room. Almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I saw them when they put out Invitation. I didn't see them on this recent tour, but like... Almost a third of their set was also just other new songs. So it seems like they're just pumping out content.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Filthy Friends. It was fun. It was a really fun show. But Peter Buck, at the show I went to, he did not play the Rickenbacker at all. So people were a little bit down on that. So they're like, hey, that's your thing.
That's your
thing. but he just played rhythm guitar. There was a Kurt Block played lead guitar, and he was great. He was like super animated and really fun, but Peter was kind of subdued. He was just kind of doing his own thing. He has that, the way he plays, a kind of very full sound, like fills out the background of everything, but he didn't say anything. He didn't really kind of acknowledge the crowd much at all. He just kind of played his guitar, right? So, but still.
Yeah, no, I think it was pretty much the same, yeah.
But still, it's always a thrill to see Peter Buck. He's a legend in our minds,
he
right?
Is. Yeah, absolutely. It's always cool to see him. Matt, what would you say of all of our correspondence channels here on Suburbs Pod, which one do you think is the most overlooked? Like, which one should listeners really start to, like, take advantage of because they don't use it? Or would you say there's a pretty even flow on all fronts?
Yeah, I think the social media has definitely picked up recently just because the community is now... befriended themselves and they just talk directly to each other.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that.
Yeah. And the party line has died down a little bit just because people have started just recording their own MP3s, right? So I still look forward to whenever there's 10 messages in the inbox
because
they're all EPJ.
It's been a while. Yeah. We'll have to get in cranking.
I think people don't like to talk on the phone anymore. I think that's a big part
true.
Of it, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to call and leave a message. They'd rather put something on social media. Or I do think this is a good development. The ones who record like a voice memo on their phone, like an MP3, that kind of thing, and then email that to us.
Love that.
it sounds better, first of all. So if you can do that, people, it's not that hard. That's great.
Right.
But then also, I think it allows them to kind of review it before they send it.
Yeah, that's another thing.
As opposed
thing,
to leaving
right.
a message.
Once you click it, you're gone. It's gone.
Yeah,
yeah, it's you like can't that, go back and do it again.
That's right.
Yeah.
You want to, yeah, you can't, and you can't go steal the tape like in Seinfeld.
Right. That's
when
right.
they had to do that. Do that. Or even worse than that, the worst answering machine in pop culture scene is the movie Swingers.
Oh, God, yes.
Right, where John Favreau's character just keeps calling right. his ex-girlfriend Seth. Over and over and over again. Oh, that's painful. Anyway, okay. Well, thanks very much, Matt. We appreciate all that you do.
More than you can know.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad you guys like the format. It's kind of academic. I use a text editor that we use to write theses. So
that's cool.
It is. It's like in an outline kind of format.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I would say in all seriousness, too, it really is very, very helpful to Jim and I because it provides feedback on what we do. Because sometimes we'll try something, you know, and we'll wait till Sunday or whenever that is when Matt sends a roundup and be like, okay, people actually responded yeah. and answered this. Like, we weren't sure if they were going to, like, you know, the White Album or the, you know, the Exile on Main Street editing. Are we going to get a lot of responses right. or is there going to be mm-hmm. crickets out there? So it's always really helpful when that happens to see, you know, what kind of an early read on the episode will be.
You know, we didn't ask Matt this question since he volunteered his services to us based on listening to the show.
That's right.
How did you discover our show?
Oh, yeah.
So I found you from the old show
because
I liked the REM Facebook page.
Okay.
And I think they just tossed it out one day. They shared your post from when you did the first REM yep, IRS right. years. And so then I started listening periodically to a couple of those. And then I was sad when you guys went away. And then I forget why. I think I just like looked you guys up on Twitter to see if something had happened. And you were already like 50 shows into Rockin' the Suburbs.
This crazy thing we're doing.
So I had to catch up pretty quick, yeah.
Well, I don't know, Matt, did you listen to the Warner Brothers episode of REM? I think all of us that were on that are still like, I'm kind of regretting that I was as harsh as I was about it all.
It's hard to fight nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, now that I think about that, I was like, I was really kind of hard on a lot of it. You know, I probably should have given it some more
Well, it
space.
was you, me, and Justin. If I recall correctly, I would say you were probably more in the middle
of the
spectrum.
Okay.
I think Justin was
maybe real harsh.
A little harsher.
He definitely
And then I was more
it.
On the, like, I like this stuff. Yeah. So, but I think we've talked about revisiting that at some point. Like,
yes.
giving it a fresh, like, listen and
fresh
trying to,
of, yeah.
trying to, you know, go into it with without all those preconceived,
yeah.
you know, biases.
Right.
And listening to it fresh and then doing some more on that. So maybe we'll do another REM week or we'll do an REM week at some point.
That sounds
where
cool.
Where we do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we
yeah.
and include Justin maybe again.
Right.
And give him a try.
Give him a chance.
Yes.
And Matt, since
yeah.
apparently we owe REM for sending
yes,
him
right.
our way. So that's
great.
Great
band. So we're
yeah.
happy to hear that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
wonderful.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I remember specifically, actually, because you were open to Accelerate and Collapse into Now. The songs, I think you must have picked them, Jim, that you
yeah.
played.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. I got to check this out.
Yeah,
so I don't know if you ever
right.
did. But
yeah, because I yeah. don't think I'd even listen to them, much less again or maybe more than once when they came out. So
yeah. Those are good records.
Pretty closed mind when they were released.
Their last two records before they broke up are really good, and they did kind of a return to form for the fans, and
yep.
they're really strong. Okay. Speaking of REM, we have a live event
oh, yeah.
coming up where we're going to talk with an author of an REM book, right Patrick?
Yeah.
His name is?
Robert Dean Lurie.
Robert Dean Lurie. And if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you can come see us MC a event that Robert has. It's on Tuesday, June 25th at the O Mansion, is what it's called. So go on suburbspod.com and you'll see a link there where you can reserve a spot. It's free.
That's all you have
reserve
to do.
A spot. June 25th starts at 6:30. And he'll be reading from the book. We'll ask him some questions.
Yes.
And he'll do like a book signing thing and all that kind
cool.
of stuff. So,
yeah.
So come check that out.
The book
so
is,
there's another REM connection
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, it's great. It's called Begin the Begin, and it's mainly focuses on the very, very early REM years. I'm reading through the book now about stuff that I did not know about early REM, so it's kind of cool. Bill Berry almost dumped REM for Love Tractor, apparently, according to this book at one point. He was very serious about doing that, but decided not to. So, good move.
Very good move. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. And since we have Matt here, he can answer this question, or not question, but he can complete the phrase is what it'll be. So if you want to converse with the show and you want to, you know, try to get through the gatekeeper who is Matt Windler, the way you do that is you can call. We love the calls because we do love to hear your voice. 612-440-1984. There we go. Yes. Thank you, Matt.
But I was going to, I can do the first six digits because you always say you like, you never get the chance to do 1984.
Oh, okay. Go for it. Go for it.
Yeah. If you want to get on the show, I'm not that hard of a gatekeeper. You really just need to call and I'll let them know that you did. But you can call 612-440-1984.
Wow. That was weird. Yeah. Don't ever do that again.
All right. And keep going. What other ways?
Well, on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all at Suburbs Todd. The email is rock@suburbspod.com. And
that's it.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That's it, right?
That's
the
it.
The email, the phone, the social medias. Mm-hmm. And then if people want to contribute to the show and get some special stuff, they can go to patreon.com/suburbspod. All right. All right. Let's get out of here.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Matt, for
Thanks,
being
Matt.
On with
so
us.
Much,
and
man.
Good luck in your future endeavors in Canada.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Working on the lasers and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So what should we play out with? You got what would be your like go-to song if you're just like, hey, need something to pick me up or get me through this day? What would it be, Matt?
Ooh, okay. I'll switch it up and I won't pick Dan Mangan.
Oh,
I'll
you go, can if you
I'll
want.
Go, I'll, well, no, that's okay. I want to spread some more Canadian love.
Okay.
So I'll go with Sam Roberts, Detroit 67. That's a great song.
Oh, I like that. Okay, cool. Very good. All right, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us is
Matt Windler.
All right. Thanks, Matt. We'll talk to you later, Matt, and we'll talk to everybody else later as well. Thanks.
You want to practice skating, come in the winter and you can skate on the world's longest skating rink.
Really? Sweet. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm terrible at skating. How are you?
Terrible. Okay. I got weak ankles.